I'd like to read from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. So Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, that Jehovah spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And now rise up, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I give unto them, to the children of Israel. Every place whereon the sole of your foot shall tread, have I given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon to the great river, the river Euphrates, the whole land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your border. None shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not leave thee, neither will I forsake thee. Be strong and courageous, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I have sworn unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest take heed to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest take heed to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou have good success in thy ways, and then shalt thou prosper. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and courageous? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For Jehovah thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And if we can please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John 17. John 17, the first 3 verses. So John 17, verse 1. These things Jesus spoke and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that as to all that thou hast given to him, he should give them life eternal. And this is the eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Then in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. But he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And the last verse is in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33. So John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. I would like to speak about courage in the believer's pathway. The reason I would like to speak about it is I feel I don't have enough of it. So I turned to the Lord and I was looking through Scripture to find some passages that could help me to live with courage in an unbelieving world as a believer of Christ. And I found these passages, and what I would like to do tonight with you is to look at Joshua as an example and look at its application in the New Testament according to the teaching of Jesus himself. We are here as believers, or we would, are interested in Jesus. Maybe all here are not believers, but it's lovely to be interested to listen to God's word. So we can all together try and understand a little bit, with the help of God himself, what it means to live a courageous life as a believer down here in this world. It's always struck me that God does not remove souls when they're converted from earth. I've often asked that to God. I said, but if we're to be saved from this world, why don't you take us away when you save us? And God has answered that question many times in my life. So there is a purpose why we're here. God has a purpose for our life here. And that is the first point where we take courage in our purpose down here. So if you look at Joshua, I think Joshua is a very nice example of a believer today. I know he is also a type of Jesus, and I don't want to diminish Joshua saying that he is an example of us or a good model for us. He is a type of Christ, and he stands there as a type of Christ. But we can see in Joshua's life things that I believe we can relate to. Joshua was a man full of doubt. Not many people, we don't like to think of that. But if you look in his life as he went on, he was strong. He was courageous. He had faith in God. But he struggled the way. He struggled along. And we all believers, we may be strong. We would like to be courageous. And it would be my desire to encourage one another to be so. But this doesn't mean that when we not have struggles in life. And I think we all can prove that and have lived that and will live that if we're left here. Now, God said to Joshua in this chapter three times, be courageous. So I would like you to picture yourself as if God was speaking to you tonight and saying, be courageous. But in these three steps that God speaks to Joshua, he's got three different thoughts that he brings to Joshua. And that's what I would like to look and examine together with you tonight. So the first step we have here is in verse 6. God says, be strong and courageous, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I have sworn unto their fathers to give them. So Joshua had a purpose in his life. And the purpose of Joshua's life was to bring the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. God hadn't promised Joshua the land of Canaan. He had promised the fathers of Joshua. So a previous generation or two or three generations earlier than that, God had already promised that. But Joshua was the one that was to lead these people over the Jordan and into the land of Canaan. Now, what does that speak to us today? Well, I thought John 17 would help us on that. There is one specific purpose that God speaks and is revealed through Jesus' precious prayer in John 17. And Jesus says that as thou hast given him authority over all flesh, that he should give them life eternal. So, we as believers are here, and God's purpose for us is that we should have life eternal. And if you run through the Gospels, if you look at all the teachings of Jesus, you'll see constant reference that Jesus gives as to the eternal life and what he had come to do and to give. There's some very typical and good examples, like the woman at the well in John 4. That's just one example, but there are many others. But my desire was that we should have an understanding that Jesus desires to give us eternal life. And scripture doesn't stop there. It tells us what eternal life is all about. And it says, this is the eternal life,
it says that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. So if we're left down here, it's not merely for purpose of testimony or witness, but it's to know Jesus, to know God, and to know Jesus, the Son of God. So as we go through life, through the difficulties of life, I question my soul, how much am I knowing God? Am I getting to know God through what I'm experiencing? Am I getting to know my Lord Jesus as I go through the difficulties of life? Well, that was the first point. God said to Joshua, be courageous. Thou wilt do this. You will take the people into the land of Canaan. This was the purpose. We would like to think that Joshua was boosted up and very strong and energetic. He would have done that without doubts. I somehow feel he will have struggled along. He did it. He did it because God gave him the strength, the power, and the faith to do it. But he struggled along till he had brought all the people of Israel through to the Jordan. As we know, some of them stayed behind. So, if we are to have courage as we walk down here, I think we first have to look at what is God's purpose for us down here. So all of us as believers will have a purpose. God will have a desire and will have a service for each one of us. We are all useful for God's work down here. No believer is not useful. Every single believer is useful for something to God. If you read the book of Acts, we're studying it at home locally, and you see that God used every single believer for a purpose. And he used them wherever. Not just in the area where Paul or Peter or John were ministering. They came from all over the place. You read of some that came from Rome, and Paul hadn't even been to Rome yet. And yet, they were there. They were prepared and ready for service and serviceable for the growth of the church, of the body of Christ down here. We are all useful in some way and measure. And God will reveal to us what we may be able to do for him. As long as we're available for it, God will use us. But what was striking me, and I wanted to pass this message, convey it to you, dear brother and sister in Christ, is that the main purpose of God's revelation in Christ is that we should have eternal life. So that we should know, that is, translated according to scripture, that we should know God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ. Everything we do in life should work around that. Everything that we experience should in some way lead us back to that knowledge, so that that knowledge of Christ may increase in our life. Now it goes on in verse 7 of Joshua, and it says, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest take heed to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded thee. And it carries on, turn not from it. And it says, keep the book of the law. Now, we've understood what the purpose is. God desires that we may enjoy eternal life. I want to point out, the enjoyment of eternal life starts when we are down here. It's not something that is only that we look at for the future day. In the future day, we will actually be with Jesus. We know that. That is a hope, that is a certainty that every single believer in Christ has. But the enjoyment of the eternal life is the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus we start from now. So we can build on that, we can grow in that, and we can have courage to do that as we walk down here. So if we understand the purpose of God for all of us believers, and the question is, how do we get into the gain of it? How do we get into the enjoyment of it? Well, God gave Joshua a very precise instruction. He says, do not depart from all the commandments that I have given to Moses. So God had called Moses on a mountain. It's a long walk for Moses up that mountain. And he rested there, stayed there, and God wrote a law for him. He had to do it twice because of the unbelief and the idolatry in the heart of the people. And sometimes probably God has to write more than once what he has in mind for us, because we are stubborn, because we are idolatrous, because we are not thinking of him. But God never leaves us. God never abandons us. So he has a purpose, and he has a way that we may get into the gain and in the enjoyment of that purpose. So I thought the parallel passage to that was John 14. Jesus says an amazing thing, and I read specifically two verses, that if you reason with a logical mind, you may think the two verses in some way contradict themselves. But we'll read them again. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So logically, I would say, if I love Jesus, then I will keep his commandments. Okay? And then it says in verse 21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. There it seems to say, if you keep my commandments, then you love me. Which one is right? Well, dear friend, it's not a question of which verse is right. Both verses are right. The point that the Lord is bringing here is that we are not to be religious men, but we are to have a living relationship with a man. And that is Jesus Christ. So the beauty of a believer in Christ is that he's not tied to religious laws, but he is tied to a living person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So what does Jesus brings an entire new revelation in this chapter, in this verse, compared to what was given to Joshua. Joshua was given a book, and it says, this is a book, follow it exactly, do whatever it says, and if you do every word, if you keep every word of it, it says, you shall prosper. It says, thou wilt prosper, thou wilt have success in all thy ways. But when you come to the New Testament, so when we come to all of us, dear believers, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus brings an entire new dimension. And that dimension is called love. That dimension is called relationship with Jesus, my Lord, with Jesus, our Lord. So, the great risk we have in the believer's pathway is to fall into patterns, to fall into routines, to fall into religiousness, to fall into, if I do this, then I'll be all right. I live in a country where people will give a euro every day to somebody to say, I've done my good work for this day. That's me done. This is religiousness. This is not doing the commandments of the Lord so you love him, or loving him so you do the commandments of the Lord. This is religiousness, and we've got to be careful not to fall into religiousness. I find, and I share with you, that our instinct is to fall into religiousness. We love routine lives. We love to have a pattern to our lives. We love to say, well, if I do this and this and this and this, and the Lord brings in all sorts of things, and we can't do it. The alarm, we sleep over the alarm, and then we wake up and says, I was meant to read this morning. I can't do that. Off to work. Oh, what will I do? Will Jesus be cross for that? My dear friend, Jesus loves us, and Jesus wants us to love him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say keep my commandments full stop. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Never separate those two principles. Commandments of the Lord are commandments of love. If you look through scripture, if you look through the New Testament, you won't find many commandments. You can't just say, oh, look, I've got to do this, 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 this. If I do this, tick, 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 it's done. No, Jesus wants us to love him. So each one of us, dear brother and sister in Christ, needs to have a living relationship with him. That is the practicality of Joshua's teaching in the new dispensation. Joshua was able to get into the land and succeed in all that he was doing only if he kept to the word of God. We will only have success in our life if we love the Lord Jesus. It's amazing, dear brother and sister, that the Lord adds something there in verse 21. But he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. And that is adding an entire level to our life. That is no longer just practical life down here, but that links us to the Father, the one that the Lord Jesus revealed when he came down here. He says, if you love me, you will be loved by my Father. Imagine that. And that is a certainty that is sure for every single believer. So we then have a relationship with the Father. But the relationship with the Father is there only on the basis that we have a relationship with the Lord himself. We cannot have a relationship with the Father if we don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus himself. So I think that is a very important aspect. Never forget, when I was at university, I remember I got caught into a conversation where I tried to prove to some of my mates, I was speaking about the existence of God, and I utterly failed. And when I was, after that, I was considering and praying and crying and why I'd failed. And God pointed out something to me. He says, did you ever mention Jesus in all your proof of the existence of God? I was ashamed to say I hadn't. Our relationship with God is based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus himself. Be sure, dear brother and sister, to have a living relationship with Christ. Then the Father will love you. And he says, he carries on and says, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Well, here comes a beautiful thought. Have we ever seen the Lord manifest himself to us throughout our life? Well, this verse would indicate that if we love the Lord Jesus and seek to follow him, he will manifest himself to us. There's no question about that. And if I omit, I didn't read the middle verses there, but the middle verses are the key to this passage because the Holy Spirit is brought into this equation. That's how we are able to enjoy the eternal life. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will allow us to enter into that living relationship with the Lord Jesus. So, we understand the purpose that God has for us. We understand how he suggests we may enter into it. So we've nothing left but to go for it and see whether we can enjoy it and see whether we can do it. It's there. It's all clear. It's presented in Scripture. Why don't we go and do it? So we set on. Joshua started. Off he goes. When he gets to the Jordan, it's an amazing miracle, and he gets through it. And then he's got a city to face. And he starts stopping, and he thinks, oh, how do I do this? And God helps him. And then he destroys the first city. And then he's got another city, and he rushes into it and realizes, no, probably that wasn't the right thing to do. And so it goes on, and moves on. And as he moves further and further, it gets more and more difficult, because the people get more and more stubborn. And as we move on in our Christian pathway, I'm afraid to say, sometimes we get a little bit stubborn. We know some things, and we get fixed on them. And things get difficult. When you start, you set out all full of courage after you're converted, and you're like, right, I'm going to tell everybody about my faith. You tell the first person, the second you doubt, the third you forget to tell them. This is the reality, dear friend. And My dear brother and sister, it's not a new thing for you to know that we live in the world that is an unbelieving world. It's a wicked world. And the devil is around. But the Lord doesn't forget that. The Lord knows before we know. So he says to Joshua, the last time he mentions courage to Joshua is, "Have I not commanded thee," in verse 9, "be strong and courageous." He says, "Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for Jehovah thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." God knew Joshua would have been afraid. That's why he said to him, "Don't be afraid." He wouldn't have said it if Joshua wasn't going to be afraid, but he knew things would have come in his life through that pathway that would have scared him. And he would have been afraid, and he needed courage to move on. Well, in the verse we read in John 16, I think that is the application in our lives. First of all, if you read that verse carefully, it says, "These things have I spoken to you." Remember, if you have my commandments, then keep my commandments. "These things have I spoken to you." This verse is for believers, dear friend. This verse is for those that have heard the voice of the Lord and have had a conscience about what the Lord has been telling them. So it's for believers. And he says, "that in me he might have peace." Now, this is another point I would like to share with you, dear friend. The peace that the believer enjoys is strictly and uniquely in Christ. I've had to learn that several times. This doesn't mean that we have a peaceful life. It doesn't mean that we have a relaxed life as we sail through the world, dear friend. The Lord is very clear in what he says. He says, "These things have I spoken, that in me you might have peace." Peace, dear believer, is found uniquely in Christ. If we're struggling through life, if we're fighting in our souls and our minds, let us turn to Christ. That's where peace comes from. That's the source of peace, is Christ himself. So then he goes on, "In the world ye have tribulation." You see, Jesus knows it. It's nothing new for him. Why do we complain? Why do we moan? Our conversations, my conversations anyway, are filled with consideration of this wicked world and what a disaster, what a corruption. How can we live like that? What a dishonest world and terrible thing. Jesus says, "Ye will have tribulations in this world." But what does he say? "Be of good courage. I have overcome the world." Dear friend, I don't think any believer likes the world they live in. But Jesus has overcome the world we live in. Isn't that a glorious thought? Jesus has overcome all the wickedness that is in this world. And that wickedness, we should never forget, was in our heart before we were saved. So we come from there. We all come from there. No one is excluded from this. Jesus has overcome the world. Where do we find courage to walk down here, dear friend? The simple and straight answer is in Christ Jesus alone. He has revealed to us the purpose. It says that I may give to them eternal life. So that Jesus may show us and tell us about God so that we may know him. Then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants a relationship. He wants that we live with him. That's where we feed. And that's where we take courage to live down here. And as we set out that door, we might have had an encouraging time together, might have enjoyed the words, and then we go out and different things happen. And we hit the world and the reality of everyday life. And it is hard, dear believer. There's no need for me to tell you. You know more than I do. It is hard. But Jesus says, you have peace in me and be not afraid. It says, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Well, just hope we might understand a little bit more about the courage that the believer can have in life down here. The source is uniquely divine. It is Christ himself. The application is divine. It is Christ himself. We are not like the world. We should not be like the world. When people don't understand us as we try to speak or tell things, it's no surprise. It says in the John 14, we didn't read it, but it says the world doesn't know him. It doesn't know the Spirit of God because it's never seen him and it's never accepted him. There's nothing unusual about being misunderstood in this world, being a believer in Christ. But be of good courage. He said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's what you have to do. Take it. And he repeated it 3 times. And if I'm not wrong, when things are repeated more than once in Scripture, they're to be thoroughly meditated upon and taken into our hearts and thought about it. May we be encouraged for his name's sake. Amen.